Welcome to Sleepnicity. We're a podcast that reads public domain works so that you might relax and get a better night's sleep. Tonight, we'll be reading Fairy Tales by the Brothers Grimm, stories 5 through 7. Old Sultan. A shepherd had a faithful dog called Sultan, who was grown very old and had lost all his teeth. One day, when the shepherd and his wife were standing together before the house, the shepherd said, "I will shoot old Sultan tomorrow morning, for he is of no use now." But his wife said, "Pray, let the poor faithful creature live. He has served us well a great many years, and we ought to give him a livelihood for the rest of his days." "But what can we do with him?" said the shepherd. "He has not a tooth in his head, and the thieves don't care for him at all. To be sure, he has served us. But then he did it to earn his livelihood. Tomorrow shall be his last day. Depend upon it." Poor Sultan, who was lying close by them, heard all that the shepherd and his wife said to one another, and was very much frightened to think tomorrow would be his last day. So in the evening, he went to his good friend, the wolf, who lived in the wood, and told him all his sorrows, and how his master meant to kill him in the morning. "Make yourself easy," said the wolf. "I will give you some good advice. Your master, you know, goes out every morning very early with his wife into the field, and they take their little child with them and lay it down behind the hedge in the shade while they are at work. Now do you lie down close by the child and pretend to be watching it, and I will come out of the wood and run away with it. You must run after me as fast as you can, and I will let it drop. Then you may carry it back, and they will think you have saved their child, and will be so thankful to you that they will take care of you as long as you live." The dog liked this plan very well, and accordingly so it was managed. The wolf ran with the child a little way. The shepherd and his wife screamed out, but Sultan soon overtook them and carried the poor little thing back to his master and mistress. Then the shepherd patted him on the head and said, "Old Sultan has saved our child from the wolf, and therefore he shall live and be well taken care of and have plenty to eat. Wife, go home and give him a good dinner and let him have my old cushion to sleep on as long as he lives." So from this time forward, Sultan had all that he could wish for. Soon afterwards, the wolf came and wished him joy and said, "Now, my good fellow, you must tell no tales, but turn your head the other way when I want to taste one of the old shepherd's fine fat sheep." "No," said the Sultan, "I will be true to my master." However, the wolf thought it was a joke and came out one night to get a dainty morsel. But Sultan had told his master what the wolf meant to do, so he laid wait for him behind the barn door, and when the wolf was busy looking out for a good fat sheep, he had a stout cudgel laid about his back and combed his locks for him finely. Then the wolf was very angry and called the Sultan an old rogue and swore he would have his revenge. So the next morning the wolf sent the boar to challenge Sultan to come into the wood to fight the matter. Now Sultan had nobody he could ask to be his second but the shepherd's old three-legged cat. So he took her with him, and as the poor thing limped along with some trouble, she stuck up her tail straight in the air. The wolf and the wild boar were first on the ground, and when they espied their enemies coming, and saw the cat's long tail standing straight in the air, they thought she was carrying a sword for Sultan to fight with, and every time she limped, They thought she was picking up a stone to throw at them. So they said they should not like this way of fighting, and the boar lay down behind a bush, and the wolf jumped up into a tree. Sultan and the cat soon came up, and looked about and wondered that no one was there. The boar, however, had not quite hidden himself, for his ears stuck out of the bush, and when he shook one of them a little, the cat, seeing something move and thinking it was a mouse, sprang upon it and bit and scratched it, so that the boar jumped up and grunted and ran away, roaring out, "Look up in the tree, there sits the one who is to blame." So they looked up and espied the wolf sitting amongst the branches, and they called him a cowardly rascal, and would not suffer him to come down till he was heartily ashamed of himself, and had promised to be good friends again with old Sultan. The Straw, the Coal, and the Bean. In a village dwelt a poor old woman, who had gathered together a dish of beans and wanted to cook them. So she made a fire on her hearth, and that it might burn the quicker, she lighted it with a handful of straw. When she was emptying the beans into the pan, one dropped without her observing it, and lay on the ground beside a straw, and soon afterwards a burning coal from the fire leapt down to the two. Then the straw began and said, "Dear friends, from whence do you come here?" The coal replied, "I fortunately sprang out of the fire, and if I had not escaped by sheer force, my death would have been certain. I should have been burnt to ashes." The bean said, "I too have escaped with a whole skin, but if the old woman had got me into the pan, I should have been made into broth without any mercy, like my comrades." "And would a better fate have fallen to my lot?" said the straw. "The old woman has destroyed all my brethren in fire and smoke, and seized 60 of them at once, and took their lives. I luckily slipped through her fingers." "But what are we to do now?" said the coal. "I think," answered the bean, "that as we have so fortunately escaped death, we should keep together like good companions. And lest a new mischance should overtake us here, we should go away together and repair to a foreign country." The proposition pleased the two others, and they set out on their way together. Soon, however, they came to a little brook, and as there was no bridge or footplank, they did not know how they were to get over it. The straw hit on a good idea, and said, "I will lay myself straight across, and then you can walk over on me as on a bridge." The straw therefore stretched itself from one bank to the other, and the coal, who was of an impetuous disposition, tripped quite boldly on to the newly built bridge. But when she had reached the middle and heard the water rushing beneath her, she was after all afraid, and stood still, and ventured no farther. The straw, however, began to burn, broke in two pieces, and fell into the stream. The coal slipped after her, hissed when she got into the water, and breathed her last. The bean, who had prudently stayed behind on the shore, could not but laugh at the event, was unable to stop, and laughed so heartily that she burst. It would have been all over with her, likewise, if by good fortune, a tailor, who was traveling in search of work, had not sat down to rest by the brook. As he had a compassionate heart, he put out his needle and thread, and sewed her together. The bean thanked him most prettily, but as the tailor used black thread, all beans since then have a black seam.
Thank you.
Briar Rose. A king and a queen, once upon a time, reigned in a country a great way off, where there were in those days fairies. Now this king and queen had plenty of money, and plenty of fine clothes to wear, and plenty of good things to eat and drink, and a coach to ride out in every day. But though they had been married many years, they had no children, and this grieved them very much indeed. But one day, as the queen was walking by the side of the river, at the bottom of the garden, she saw a poor little fish that had thrown itself out of the water and lay gasping and nearly dead on the bank. Then the queen took pity on the little fish and threw it back into the river, and before it swam away, it lifted its head out of the water and said, "I know what your wish is, and it shall be fulfilled. In return for your kindness to me, you will soon have a daughter." What the little fish had foretold soon came to pass, and the queen had a little girl, so very beautiful that the king could not cease looking on it for joy, and said he would hold a great feast and make merry, and show the child to all the land. So he asked his kinsmen, and nobles, and friends, and neighbors. But the queen said, "I will have the fairies also, that they might be kind and good to our little daughter." Now there were 13 fairies in the kingdom, but as the king and queen had only 12 golden dishes for them to eat out of, they were forced to leave one of the fairies without asking her. So the 12 fairies came, each with a high red cap on her head, and red shoes, with high heels on her feet, and a long white wand in her hand. And after the feast was over, they gathered round in a ring and gave all their best gifts to the little princess. One gave her goodness, another beauty, another riches, and so on, till she had all that was good in the world. Just as 11 of them had done blessing her, a great noise was heard in the courtyard, and word was brought that the 13th fairy had come, with a black cap on her head, and black shoes on her feet, and a broomstick in her hand. And presently up she came into the dining hall. Now, as she had not been asked to the feast, she was very angry, and scolded the king and queen very much, and set to work to take her revenge. So she cried out, "The king's daughter shall, in her 15th year, be wounded by a spindle, and fall down dead." Then the 12th of the friendly fairies, who had not yet given her gift, came forward, and said that the evil wish must be fulfilled, but that she could soften its mischief. So her gift was, that the king's daughter, when the spindle wounded her, should not really die, but should only fall asleep for 100 years. However, the king hoped still to save his dear child altogether from the threatened evil, so he ordered that all spindles in the kingdom should be brought up and burnt. But all the gifts of the first 11 fairies were in the meantime fulfilled, for the princess was so beautiful and well-behaved and good and wise that everyone who knew her loved her. It happened that, on the very day she was 15 years old, the king and queen were not at home, and she was left alone in the palace. So she roved about by herself, and looked at all the rooms and chambers, till at last she came to an old tower, to which there was a narrow staircase ending with a little door. In the door there was a golden key, and when she turned it, the door sprang open, and there sat an old lady spinning away very busily. "Why, how now, good mother?" said the princess. "What are you doing here?" "Spinning," said the old lady, and nodded her head, humming a tune, while buzz went the wheel. "How prettily that little thing turns round," said the princess, and took the spindle and began to try to spin, But scarcely had she touched it before the fairy's prophecy was fulfilled, and the spindle wounded her, and she fell down lifeless on the ground. However, she was not dead, but had only fallen into a deep sleep. And the king and queen, who had just come home, and all their court, fell asleep too. And the horses slept in the stables, and the dogs in the court, the pigeons on the housetop, and the very flies slept upon the walls, even the fire on the hearth left off blazing and went to sleep. The jack stopped, and the spit that was turning about with a goose upon it for the king's dinner stood still, and the cook, who was at that moment pulling the kitchen boy by the hair to give him a good box on the ear for something he had done amiss, let him go, and both fell asleep. The butler, who was slyly tasting the ale, left asleep with the big jug at his lips, and thus everything stood still and slept soundly. A large hedge of thorns soon grew round the palace, and every year it became higher and thicker, till at last the old palace was surrounded and hidden, so that not even the roof or the chimneys could be seen. But there went a report through all the land of the beautiful sleeping Briar Rose, for so the king's daughter was called, so that, from time to time, several king's sons came and tried to break through the thicket of this palace. This, however, none of them could ever do, for the thorns and bushes laid hold of them, as it were with hands, and they were stuck fast and died wretchedly. After many, many years, there came a king's son into the land, and an old man told him the story of the thicket of thorns, and how a beautiful palace stood behind it, and how a wonderful princess called Briar Rose lay in it asleep with all her court. He told, too, how he had heard from his grandfather that many, many princes had come and had tried to break through the thicket, but that they had all stuck fast in it and died. Then the young prince said, "All this shall not frighten me. I will go and see this Briar Rose." The old man tried to hinder him, but he was bent upon going. Now that very day, the 100 years were ended, and as the prince came to the thicket, he saw nothing but beautiful flowering shrubs, through which he went with ease, and they shut in after him as thick as ever. Then he came at last to the palace, and there in the court lay the dogs asleep, and the horses were standing in the stables, and on the roof sat pigeons fast asleep, with their heads under their wings. And when he came into the palace, the flies were sleeping on the walls, the spit was standing still, the butler had the jug of ale at his lips, going to drink a draught. The maid sat with a fowl in her lap ready to be plucked, and the cook in the kitchen was still holding up her hand as if she was going to beat the boy. Then he went on still farther, and all was so still that he could hear every breath he drew, till at last he came to the old tower, and opened the door of the little room in which Briar Rose was, and there she lay fast asleep on a couch by the window. She looked so beautiful that he could not take his eyes off her, so he stooped down and gave her a kiss. But the moment he kissed her, she opened her eyes and awoke, and smiled upon him. And they went out together, and soon the king and queen also awoke, and all the court, and gazed on each other with a great wonder. And the horses shook themselves, and the dogs jumped up and barked. The pigeons took their heads from under their wings and looked about and flew into the fields. The flies on the walls buzzed again. The fire in the kitchen blazed up. Round went the jack, and round went the spit, with the goose for the king's dinner upon it. The butler finished his draught of ale. The maid went on plucking the foal, and the cook gave the boy the box on his ear. And then the prince and Briar Rose were married, and the wedding feast was given, and they lived happily together all their lives long.